Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is none other than Insta Queen, Katya Damborski, aka The Yacht Writer. Hello, Katya.
Hello, Stuart, aka The Catty D, as I put on the script. Catty but D. I thought you might read that out, but you didn't quite catch you on that.
Welcome back to the Boat Briefing podcast.
Thank you. Good to be back, of course.
Very excited to talk through some of the big Cannes debuts with you in a second.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we'll both be there next week in the south of France sun, slogging around the Cannes Yachting Festival.
Yep, that's right.
Looking forward to that. That'll be great. But before we get to Cannes, we have a few notices of passing. So we've lost a few boating legends, haven't we, in the last week or so. Few of you will have escaped the news that Jimmy Buffett has died at the age of 76. Jimmy, famous singer, songwriter, surfer, yachtsman, raconteur, resident of St. Bart's and various other lovely places around the world. And it's made us look back, actually, at a feature that Risa Merle, one of our contributing editors. She interviewed Jimmy in St. Bart's back in 2018. They wrote a great feature for the magazine, which is now online, obviously. So we'll put the link in the description so you can read it for yourself. It's a great piece. But yeah, very sad because 76 is no kind of age. And he was a bit of a legend, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He coined some great phrases. It's 5 o'clock somewhere came from him, right?
I think so. I think that's right.
And Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Classics.
But his most famous song is Margaritaville, obviously.
That's right. Yeah. Am I allowed to sing? Can you drop me a beat and I'll sing it for you?
So we thought we'd test Catch's singing voice on the podcast.
Get ready, podcast listeners. This is a treat.
You ready for the chorus?
Yep, I'm ready. Wasted. Way again in Margaritaville. Do, do, do. Searching for my last shaker of salt. Some people say that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's somebody's fault. Do, 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 do.
Well, I don't know what to make of that, really.
I think I've got quite a promising career lined up if Boat International doesn't work out for me.
I think stick to the Instagram.
Do you think? Okay. I think, look, it took me a while to get into it, but once I was there, I was...
You're in the islands.
Exactly, yeah. I was there with my cheeseburger in paradise. What can I say?
Well, that was a first for the Boat Briefing podcast. I'm sure we've broken lots of copyright laws doing that, but...
No doubt, yeah.
Apologies to the state of Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy grew up in Mobile, Alabama. He's a lifelong surfer. And when Risa interviewed him back in 2018, he was still going out every single day. So he lived a lot of the year in St. Bart's, obviously, but spent time in Sag Harbor, Hawaii, in the Bahamas. So he owned, when we interviewed him, he owned this 15-meter motor sailor called Drifter that he had designed basically himself. Because he had a very big boat previously, but he never used it, he said. He had a Delta 125.
Really?
Just didn't get enough use. So he downgraded it. Actually got a lot more use out of the 15-meter boat than he did out of the 38-meter boat.
Yeah. I mean, the Caribbean's probably better for those kind of small sailing boats, right?
Yeah, and the Bahamas.
Yeah, exactly.
He was desperate to, you know, he loved sailing the Bahamas. So the boat was tailor-made. Drifter was tailor-made for that. But I thought I'd excerpt this little paragraph from the story Risa wrote because I loved it so much. So she wrote that he used the money he made from his second studio album, a white sport coat and a pink crustacean, to buy his first boat, a Choili Offshore 33, which he called Euphoria. His accountant thought he was crazy, but Buffett called it an insurance policy. I said, look, I don't know if this music thing is going to last, but no matter what, I can sail, I can cook, and I can sing. And I know that I can live on the boat and go wherever I want.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice sentiment, isn't it?
That is, for sure.
So fair winds, Jimmy Buffett. Thank you for the music and the Broadway show and everything you've contributed. And yeah.
Did you know that his granddad was a steamship captain? And his father was also a marine engineer and sailor. So he really grew up with sailing in his blood.
He was born to do it.
Yeah.
He was born to do it. And he was like the nicest. I never met him, which is a great shame. No matter how many times. I never ran into him down in St. Bart's. But he was just the nicest guy.
Mm.
I am told reliably.
Yeah. So there was another passing, which was Mohamed Al Fayed. He died at 94. He was obviously a very famous yachtsman, as was his son Dodi, who was pictured enjoying many yacht holidays over the years, including probably most famously his holiday with Lady Diana on board the 64-meter Curacassa, which was at the time Jean Nicole.
So was that the one? So there's a famous photo, isn't there, of Di sitting at the end of the Passerelle. That was on Jean Nicole.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she was later Socar and then Bash. And then a few weeks ago, she actually changed hands and she's now Isabel Princess of the Seas. So that was a very famous yacht that he owned. But he also owned a beautiful classic yacht called Sakara. This would be right up your street, Stuart. It's like a 33-meter, gorgeous, I think it's a sailing yacht. And he also owned a Wally. So he was a real yachtsman and he had gorgeous taste in yachts. And yeah, very sad to hear of him passing as well.
Yeah, and actually, to round off this quite sad intro to the Folk Briefing podcast, I did want to pay a tribute to Dave Hopkins. Whilst Dave wasn't as famous as Mohamed Al Fayed or Jimmy Buffett, he was the gentleman, the extremely talented illustrator of the Lippy from the Liffey column each month in Boat International. So readers of Boat International will know that Eddie Jordan writes a column every month for us. And for the last decade, well, since 2014 almost, it's been illustrated by Dave Hopkins, and he was just a master with the pen. And no matter what brief we threw at him, he delivered again and again. And the way he could turn around these most amazing illustrations in a matter of hours never ceased to amaze me. So Dave very, very sadly passed away a week or two ago. And I just wanted to mark his passing on the podcast, really. And just to say thank you and express my sincere condolences to his friends and family and everyone he worked with. He was a really, really talented guy. And again, just a super nice guy. There's great stories about him just helping out young illustrators and young artistic talent and getting them into the industry and expecting nothing back and just doing it out of the goodness of his heart. So
that is really sad news. I actually remember before I worked at Boat, those Lippy from the Liffey illustrations were so iconic. Like they really made the mag, really set the mag apart, because they're obviously all custom drawn according to what Eddie's column was about. So that's really sad news.
And Eddie was obviously devastated. And he, as when Dave, we knew Dave was ill, Eddie kindly recorded a message for him, a video message which lifted Dave's spirits in his final days. And actually, on the wall of the office, there's a picture of Eddie Jordan gifting Prince Albert, His Serene Highness, one of Dave's illustrations, which hangs in the palace in Monaco, amongst various other priceless works of art. And amongst all that is one of Dave's fantastic illustrations of Eddie and the Prince.
Wow. Illustrations are in very good company then.
Very good company. So thank you, Dave. So let's talk Cannes, because I can't believe it's here again. I mean, this boat show season, just everyone always says it, don't they? There's this weird little lull in August and part of July, and then you're hit in the face with the Cannes frying pan. So what are you excited about seeing, Katya?
So I think for me, the largest yacht of the show is probably the one I am really gearing up to see, which is Pachamama 2. This is the first in Baglietto's 52-meter T-52 series. Mm. And that's the yacht, you may recall, I was on board in Portofino earlier this year. So it's a gorgeous Francesco Pescoski design with this incredibly cool wheelhouse. It's like glass encased, like glass really all sides, and then these massive big touch screens. And I'm not a wheelhouse girl, like that's not what excites me about yachts. But this one I think you should be queuing up to see, because it's I mean the whole boat is brilliant. And I actually wrote about it in September issue, which is my first yacht report in print. So I'm very excited to see that.
Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. What about you? What's on your hit list?
Southern Wind have got Nyumba there, their new 29.2-metre sailing boat. Nyumba means home in Swahili. She's the fourth SW96 model to hit the water, but the first, importantly, hybrid sailing yacht ever built by Southern Wind. She did this amazing shakedown. There's a lot of Southern Wind boats do. They're kind of delivered in South Africa.
They have to, yeah.
And then, you know, then you... You know, 7,500 miles later, you figured out what's loose and what needs to be tightened and all that kind of stuff. So she was delivered from, shaken down between Cape Town and Malta. To aid in her performance, an advanced energy storage system allows for zero emission cruising, extended range under power and silent nights in hotel mode. So that's exciting that Nyumba will be there over in the sailing yacht.
Section. Yeah, that is exciting. And the zero emission is cool as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We got some good other zero emission news later for you.
Yeah. But on to other debuts. We've got the Canados Oceanic 143. So that is actually a really long-awaited project from Canados. I think you may recall it kind of stopped and started construction a couple of times. But now she is ready. She's been out on sea trials, hitting top speeds of 23 knots, which is... you know, pretty good for a 43.5-metre. And she can reportedly cover over 6,000 nautical miles at 8.5 knots. So, yeah, that would be a really nice one to see from Canados. She was actually meant to be there last year, but, yeah, better late than never.
Good, very contemporary, tough styling.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm quite excited to see the Pershing, the GTX 116. I love a Pershing. I just think... they're kind of no-nonsense, I go very fast boats, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. The speed demons.
Speed demons. So the GTX, this is the flagship of the GTX fleet. And this is the second hull. Come on, yacht writer.
Well, actually, I think it is the second hull too, but I think the Yachting Festival website has it down as the first hull. So there's a bit of confusion there.
Okay.
But I suspect it's the second hull. The first hull is called Caffeine and it's based out in Miami. And it was apparently actually built for an owner who made his fortune in coffee. So very aptly named.
What apt boat for someone who's
exactly,
constantly wired on
exactly,
caffeine.
Exactly, yeah.
This it's a slight departure, these GTX 116s, aren't they, from Pershing, because they're so sharp. It's still sharp, but it's a bit, it adds a few more angles to the design. So it's a, interesting looking boat, but I still love it. But I've not been on one, so I'm quite keen to have a look around this Pershing at the show.
Nice, yeah. So elsewhere in Italy, San Lorenzo is debuting their SX100. That's 30.5-metre. Obviously an evolution of the quite popular SX range. Obviously they've got the big open aft deck. Key features include signature fold-down terraces to pair with generous lower deck beach club, as well as a massive lounge and sunbathing area forward. So
staying in Italy. The Wally Y150, which you and I were both on, actually, in Venice. That was its debut, right?
That was its debut, yeah.
So the Venice Boat Show was a bit early this year, and Catch and I were both there with some other colleagues. And we had a little ride on the Wally Y150, didn't we? And you made a video with Luca Bassani.
Yeah.
I acted as cameraman.
Did you act as cameraman or did you?
I was second camera.
Okay, fine. I'll give you that.
You didn't use any of my footage, I know.
I thought you only had... All right, put me on the spot on the podcast, why don't you? Luca Bassani is such a great person to chat to, so I think we grabbed the opportunity to catch him on the boat and explain, you know, why concept is so different to all the other Wallys, and it's just a really interesting boat. And yeah, they've packed a lot of volume in there, haven't they?
It's a volume game. It carries over that kind of forward master cabin concept from its bigger sister, the Wally Y200. And it's quite breathtaking when you walk into that master cabin. It's right forward in the prow and you get these panoramic windows. So it'd be quite a nice place to wake up, I imagine.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, another one I'm excited for is the A96. That's an Arcadia, 29.3 meters. And I actually was, they did like a virtual press conference, which was quite memorable, actually, because they really talked through the ethos behind it. And they talked a lot about wellness and how wellness is the biggest new luxury that everyone wants nowadays. So they really focused on channeling that into this new model. So the connection to the outside world is intended to be present on pretty much every single space on board. So you've always got this kind of indoor-outdoor connection. It's Igor Lobanov on the interiors. And, you know, I very much like his design. So I'm really excited to
Igor,
see this one.
Igor does a great job.
Yeah. What about something from the UAE?
Yeah, the Majesty 111 will be there. This is the first time it's been seen in Europe. So it was at the Dubai Boat Show earlier this year. And it sits between the Majesty 100 and 120 models. And it's a good example of how the Majesty range has evolved over the last 5 or 6 years. Previously, the designs were fine, but they were fairly staid. But they've introduced some new design talent to the Majesty line, and it's proven quite successful. So this Majesty 111 is a decent looking boat. It's a good looking boat, like all the new Majesties, well priced. And, you know, with lots of those slightly more med boat European characteristics you'd expect. So I think they're selling quite well, these Majesties.
Yeah. I went on board in Dubai and actually did a little tour on Instagram, and it's really cool. Have you seen where the pool is? We're on top of the master berth, so the light comes in kind of with a watery thing. It's,
bang on trend.
Pretty special, yeah. And then I think finally, one boat I'm really excited to see is the Infinito 90. So this is a 27.4 meter, and it's a really different type of yacht than you might expect from Ferretti yachts. It's got this huge all-season terrace on the top, which is a real winter garden setup. And then you've also got like a forward lounge area that's semi-enclosed again, exactly like kind of what you'd see on a much larger yacht. It's really quite special. I mean, I haven't seen it in person, but this is definitely one I want to get on board. And it totals around 100 square meters of exterior space, which is apparently 50% more than the market segment average. So excited for that. And speaking of Ferretti Group, I heard you have an exciting event coming up this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I'm very fortunate to be invited each year to this fabulous Ferretti Group event in Monaco. I'll get onto that. But before I go to there, actually, so tomorrow I'm flying out to Parma to join in the celebrations for Oyster Yachts' 50th anniversary. So they do a regatta each year, and this one obviously coincides with their half century. And I think Oyster do a really, really good job of keeping their fleet and their owner group together with the annual regatta, but also with the World Rally, which is this 16-month circumnavigation. Fully supported by Oyster. The next one's in 2026-27. So if you do own an Oyster or are buying an Oyster and want the adventure of a lifetime, it's not to be missed. The people I've spoken to who have done the World Rally have been enormously complimentary about it. And some of the places they go and the camaraderie and the meeting up in distant ports, it all sounds very, very special. So their regatta, the Oyster Regatta, is on as we speak in Parma. So I'm looking forward to catching up with their team tomorrow when I fly out. And on Thursday, I'll be sailing on Lush with Richard Adida, the owner of the company. And then hitting the dock, then running very quickly to the airport for my EasyJet flight home. I think it's the last EasyJet flight out of Parma, so naturally it'll be delayed 27 hours.
Risky business, Stuart.
Yeah, so I'll just make sure my phone's charged, so when I'm sleeping on a bench in Parma Airport.
Wow, what a glamorous life you lead.
What a glamorous life. And then back for a day. Then on Saturday, the wife and I fly out to Monaco for the Ferretti Group private preview, which is back to spectacular form this year. So pre-pandemic, they had this series of these amazing private preview events. And I've seen Sting, Duran Duran, Lionel Richie. out there. So they set up this stage on the water right outside the Yacht Club de Monaco, and they invite these amazing acts to come and play, and they invite clients. God knows why they invite me. But amongst the VIPs, I sneak in, the missus and I, and we enjoy a spectacular night, courtesy of the Fretty Group. And obviously they had to downgrade plans during the pandemic. And then it became a kind of a more of a dinner thing. But now it's back with a big act. I can't wait to get out there. Although, obviously, Duran Duran, Lionel Richie, Sting, I know I'm all over them. I know all about them.
You can sing along.
I could sing along to quite a few of their songs. However, this year's act is Maneskin. So tell me about Maneskin. Gotcha.
Well, do you know, I felt like I awfully offended Fretty Group by not knowing who they were. But then I did some swatting because I didn't want to be in their bad books, because I was hoping I might get an invitation to the private preview, but no such luck. So Fretty Group, if you're listening, I'll expect mine next year. But what I heard about this event is that their next concert is also, so it's an Italian rock band, but their tour dates are completely sold out for months, maybe even years in advance. So for this private preview, people from Italy are coming across the border. They've just heard about it, and then they're gonna kind of be in the hills around Monaco listening and watching it from wherever they can to kind of get the second-hand experience of it. So really in demand concert.
Wow. I did look them up on Spotify, and they've got like billions of plays of their songs.
Yeah, they're massive. They're so big.
So when I said to the kids, Mummy and I are going to see Maneskin, they're like, Maneskin, wow!
Really?
Yeah, they're all over them.
Oh God, we're so old, Stuart.
Well, I'm so old.
Yeah, but I didn't know either.
I know they were in the Eurovision Song Contest a few years ago, and I think did quite well. I'm not sure. My Eurovision history is not great. But I understand they're massive.
Yeah.
So I look forward to becoming a Maneskin fan, right, disciple, so, after this weekend.
So on next week's podcast, we'll have Stuart singing one of their songs.
You team me up with some Maneskin.
I think we should make this a regular podcast thing, a song every week.
Who's got the worst voice in the national office? It's me, by the way. I know the answer to that question already.
I don't know. I think I'd give you a run for your money.
Yeah, so that'd be great. So I will report back. Actually, no, I won't. I won't be on the podcast next week because neither will you, because we'll both be at the Cannes show.
It's true.
So next week will be handled by Caroline. We'll be on podcast duties. We should just acknowledge a big appointment in the world of super yacht brokerage houses. Fraser has a new CEO, and it is Anders Curtin. So Anders, as many people will know, was the former CEO of Baltic Yachts up in Finland. And he is now the newly appointed CEO of one of the world's biggest brokerage houses. They've been without a CEO for a while, Fraser. Mm. So I think this is great news for the company. And I know Anders, and he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Seems very capable, very charming fella, knows his stuff. He said, on being appointed CEO, Fraser shares my deep passion and understanding for developing industry-wide solutions and practices for more sustainable superyacht experiences. With so many recent quantum leaps in sustainable technologies, materials, and processes, it is a truly exciting time to be part of this industry. So a hint there, I think, about what he's going to spearhead at the company, very eco-sustainable focused tenure, I'm sure, as CEO coming up for him.
Is he finished, do you know?
I think so. With a name like Anders Curtin.
Yeah, you'd expect.
He's got to be from up there, right?
Interesting. I think I was kind of expecting someone American to step in with the Marine Max connection. But
yeah. Well, I imagine because the search for the CEO took quite a long time, I imagine, you know, there was quite the global search for the right candidate.
So stiff Anders, competition too, I bet.
Yeah, I bet there was a lot of competition for that role because it is one of the biggest jobs in super yachting. And Anders got the nod. So congratulations, Anders. Look forward to catching up at the shows.
So speaking about brokerage, should we get into our brokerage picks of the week?
Yes. So I've gone sailing again.
Who's surprised?
Well, yeah. I think if I look back at all my brokerage picks.
A catamaran or a sailing yacht?
Catamaran or a sailing
yacht. Or a classic yacht, maybe.
Or a classic fed ship.
You want to mix it up a little bit.
I'm so predictable. So I have chosen Tuwera. There's a few reasons for this. So Tuwera, first of all, is a beautiful ketch built by Alloy Yachts, delivered in 1995, designed by the legend Ron Holland. And the boat is asking 1.95 million euros with Burgess. I'm fond of this boat for a couple of reasons. I've sailed on her down in the Bay of Islands in New Zealand. So her owner is a guy called Mike Mahoney, who's just the nicest guy. And he invited me sailing with them during the Millennium Cup. And we won that day's racing.
Congratulations.
And Tuwera won the whole regatta. It also won the MasterCard Superyacht Regatta when the America's Cup was down in Auckland. And Mike was interviewed recently. I spoke about him last week or the week before as well, because he's just in Tuwera, spent 9 months sailing from New Zealand to the Med, and the boat's now in Palma. And as a way of proving a platform, that is pretty hardcore, really. So the boat is super capable. Very classic on the inside, very nice. He's done a great job of keeping her. And yeah, Mike's a gent. So that's Tuwera, the catch from Alloy Yachts, asking 1.95 billion euros with Burgess. She's my pick. What have you got?
I feel like your pick is like well considered, and you've got a little story behind it. And mine's just like, yeah, I like this boat. But mine is a brand new Oasis 34 meter model. She's just come to market. Her name is Grateful. And she's newly listed with our friend Filippo Rossi of Floating Life, along with V Marine. I think she's the 13th hull in the series, and she's asking 16.9 million euros. But I just love the Oasis series. I remember the first time I went on board one, and I was like, okay, this is how yachting is meant to be. Like, that huge aft deck is amazing with the pool. And just when you go inside, all that light that comes in, they're just such a good platform. So yeah, if I had 16.9 million euros to spare, that's what I'd be going for.
Well, they're just a phenomenally successful series, and with good reason. RWD design with Benetti Kuzerski for the interior really rethought. It was a project of Giovanna Vitelli's, really, to revamp some of the Benetti offering. And so she went to found Benetti Kuzerski, who had never done a boat before, and asked what this New York-based interior design company would do to a yacht interior. And some of the answers they came up with are really novel. And then RWD obviously had a lot of influence over that Oasis platform.
Yeah.
And then that platform, first seen in the 40 meter, kind of made the traditional kind of beach club seem very passé, didn't it? Because there's this kind of elegant sweep down to the water. So from the main saloon, you kind of waft on to the aft deck and then tread down. You're straight in the water. There's no steep stairs or anything like that. And what hull did you say? So hull,
I think it's about the 13th unit. I mean, of the series.
Just amazing. The 40's done so well as well.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, do you know what? I think the first hull, Rebecca, which was Tim Kiasuli.
Yeah, Tim's boat, yeah.
Yeah, is now actually for sale. I think she also joined the market today. She's now known as Sea Green. But I doubt she'll stay on the market for very long, because as you said, these models are just flying off the shelves.
And great charter platforms too.
Yeah, exactly.
All righty. So I've gone for a 1995 boat. You've gone for a 2023 boat.
I'm a modern woman.
We'll see which one sells first. let's talk some headlines. Why don't you take the first one, Katya?
So one of the biggest stories of last week was Heesen. They crowned a new flagship with the delivery of their 80-metre superyacht Genesis. So this is the yacht that was formerly known as Project Cosmos and Galactica. So she was completed technically last year, but then there was a bit of a delay in the delivery, and the yard has now confirmed that the sale and delivery of the yacht had been coordinated with the Dutch authorities. It follows on, you may recall that Heesen in May last year changed its ownership structure to ensure it was 100% Dutch and could continue to build and deliver yachts. So this is a yacht with winch on the exterior and then Sino on the interior. We haven't seen the interiors yet, but I imagine, knowing what Sino do, they'll be very nice and probably quite neutral and tasteful, I'd say. That's what I'm expecting. So there are 8 projects in build at Heysen, and Genesis joins 3 other super yachts expected to be delivered this year by Heysen, including Ultra G, which is that very fast Heysen that's kind of red and grey.
Great to see Genesis out there.
Yeah.
On the water, massive project, 80 metre Heysen.
Yeah.
Amazing. She looks great too. So now we have 3 more news stories for you, but we've clumped them together because they've all got a heavy sustainability focus as teased at the top. And it's really exciting that these boats are being built because they're really revolutionary and they signal a new direction for the shipyards concerned and the super industry as a whole, I think. And the technologies built into them will inform a lot of designs and concepts and construction going forward. So Sunreef, Polish yard Sunreef, has released the first images of its zero emission catamaran named the Zero Cat. By producing clean hydrogen, the shipyard reaffirms its commitment to discovering cleaner and greener yachting solutions. Currently in development with Sunreef's R&D department, the new sailing yacht will measure in excess of 27 meters and aims to combine hydrogen power with electric propulsion for a new standard of eco-conscious cruising. It will generate net zero emissions, no nitrogen oxides or sulfur oxides. According to the yard, the Zero Cat will house a hydrogen generator to produce its own hydrogen sourced from green methanol on board, which will be used to power the majority of the yacht's energy requirements. Other advantages include low noise and vibration levels.
Nice. Very classic on-brand stew, choosing the catamaran. But I'm really excited for the Sunreef press conference in Cannes because I hear Mike Horn will be there for a breakfast event, talking about Sunreef's most recent developments and its plans for the future. And I think we, as Boat International, are particularly excited about this one. Not just because it's a breakfast and we like a good free croissant, but also because Mike Horn will be speaking at the upcoming Explore Yacht Summit on November 9th at the Yacht Club de Monaco. So that is a Boat International event, always really popular and well attended. I went last year and it was brilliant. So many interesting conversations and thought-provoking panels. And this year will be much the same. And obviously Mike Horn is an absolute legend of exploration. So it'll be really great to have him there at the event.
It will be. Mike's kicking off the entire day, actually, with the keynote address to the summit, talking about some of his adventures. So if you want to hear more from Mike, tickets available now to the Explore Yacht Summit. You can find some details about that fantastic event on our website.
Second up on the trio of sustainability focused stories, we've got Vitters. They turn the hull on their zero fossil fuel sailing yacht, Project 3094, which is actually better known as Project Zero. She's been under construction for about 11 months now, and she will now be going to Zwartschluss.
I'm going Zwartschluss.
That's what I said.
Is that what you said?
So she'll be going there for the next stage of outfitting. So that's another catch rig sailing yacht, and she will operate completely free of fossil fuels while also harvesting wind, thermal and solar energy to power the yacht and its amenities. And it's Vrypak that did the interior and exterior of that yacht. And Marnix, who is the co-creative director of Vrypak, I think. Is that right?
That's right.
He was at our Superyacht Design Festival to talk more about this. So I'm very clued up on this because I was in the back diligently taking notes and writing down every word. But he said at the Superyacht Design Festival about this project that it's not about improving what we had. It's all about cutting edge innovation. The yacht will have no engine room, not even a secret compartment disguised as a range extender, meaning that classification systems will have to be newly developed for Project Zero to comply with them. And this is being created in collaboration with Foundation Zero, which is kind of a foundation that's aiming to pioneer zero emissions in many different segments. So this was all unveiled at SDF, which is back again in January, I believe, in Kitzbühel in Austria.
It's coming back to Kitzbühel, that's right. So this year was in Cortina, and now we're going back to Kitzbühel. Great place, Kitzbühel. So I've got a funny story about this. So when Marnix delivered this amazing address at the SDF, and everyone was rapt, edge of their seats, because it was the first time, like you said, that anybody had heard. There's been some whispers about Project Zero and bits and pieces, but he kind of really opened the book on it and told everyone how they were going to capture all this energy, store all this energy, and deliver it to power the yacht. And it is utterly revolutionary, this boat. The fact that it has no combustion on board whatsoever is unheard of in a yacht this size. So Marnix had some notes that he was going to read from on stage. And then I found some notes on a chair, and they looked quite important. So I took them, and then with the ambition to give them to someone. Then when he returned to the chair where he thought he had left his notes were not there. So then had a panic, and then got the call. Now welcome on stage, Marnix from Buyback. So got on stage without his notes. But even without his notes, he absolutely nailed the presentation and was so fluent and knowledgeable that you just wouldn't think he required notes. No. And then got off stage afterwards and said, where the hell are my notes? And I said, these, you mean these. But it just goes to show you how deep in this project Marnix and his collaborator Bart are, that they can wing it. And he winged it with aplomb and in spectacular style. And of all the, that was one of the absolute highlights of the entire event. And so many people were talking about it afterwards because we had to kind of shut down the questions. There were so many questions afterwards, and we're quite limited by time. So we had to kind of bring an end to the questions. But Marnix was mobbed afterwards because everyone wanted to know how they were achieving this just groundbreaking, revolutionary project.
Wow. I just want to know why you picked up the notes, though. You said they looked important.
I don't know.
What was the thinking?
I can't quite remember the actual, what actually happened. But I ended up with the notes because I just figured Marnix would just knew it off by heart. And it turns out he did. But
luckily,
he didn't sweat at all. Like, he just without a hitch.
Right. So how Stuart Campbell almost ruined SDF.
I almost ruined the entire presentation.
Right. Okay.
By nicking Marnix's notes. But my heart was in the right place.
Sure.
I think. Last in our trio, we have the news that Lursen's 114.2-meter superyacht, Project Cosmos, has been spotted in transit from Lursen's shipyard in Rendsburg en route to outfitting. The superyacht is one of the first in the world to be fitted with fuel cell technology. Commissioned by a Japanese owner, Project Cosmos is one of the largest yachts currently under construction and the fourth largest of the eight projects currently in build at Lursen. Her exterior is the work of Australian industrial designer Mark Newson, whose portfolio also includes 140-meter Solaris.
And do you know what else he famously designed?
He did a Reaver. I'm pretty sure he did a Reaver.
Possibly. But something else.
He worked with Apple as well, didn't he?
He did. He did the Apple Watch.
Did he do the Apple Watch?
Yeah.
Is that a Mark Newson project?
Yeah.
Ah, that's fantastic. Well, I mean, everyone's got one of those. They're just ubiquitous, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've resisted.
So have I.
Yeah, good for you.
We're not sheep over here.
According to Boat Pro, there are six projects over 100 metres currently in build at Lursen, including 122-metre Project Jag, which splashed earlier in August. So loads going on.
Yeah, Project Jag is actually really exciting. I'm keen to see that one.
Yeah, good-looking boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so plenty to keep Lursen busy at the moment. So in honour of the Cannes Yachting Festival, which kicks off next week, we thought we'd focus a little bit on it for our data section, which is, as ever, brought to you by Boat Pro, the superyacht industry's leading market intelligence service. Katya, you've been digging into the Cannes data. What have you got for us?
I did. I had a little dig. So this is data for yachts over 24 metres. We've got 108 yachts total. And that is an increase on last year. We had 94 yachts last year, so 14 more this year, and slightly larger as well, although not by much. The average size this year is 31.3 metres, and the average size last year was 31.2 metres. And then, as ever, the largest category for in terms of size is the 24 to 30 meter category. There are 57 of those, and quite a lot of debuts as well. Would you care to hazard a guess at the number of debuts this year?
10?
16.
Okay.
It's quite a lot, I think.
Yeah.
16 yachts for us to run around and see.
Well, I think it underscores the growing importance of Cannes. It has become such a big show for the middle market, I would say. Between that kind of 30 to 50 meter market, it is the absolute show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's been I was speaking to Raphael, who does our intelligence. He was saying there's a big boom in brokerage yachts this year. And he thinks it could be explained by the fact that Coral Ocean was there last year. And that was a record for Cannes, actually. But her berth was so big that now that area where she was berthed can actually be used for more smaller yachts. If you remember, Coral Ocean was berthed...
she had a great berth, didn't she?
She was, but she wasn't berthed like stern to.
No.
So she took up a massive section of the dock, and now you can get a lot of yachts stand too.
So there'll be 44 brokerage yachts over 24 metres, 64 new yachts over 24 metres, and that breaks down into 96 motor yachts and 12 sailing yachts, all over 24 metres. So tons to see.
Yeah, a total LOA of 3,383. That's a lot of metres to walk.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy week. We'll do a little step count competition, as ever, to see who's done the most miles, and the person who's done the least gets fired. I think that's...
I think that's fair.
That's fair.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
absolutely reasonable.
All right, you've heard it here on the podcast first, so don't be surprised when in a few weeks' time we'll be one person down.
Well, thank you, Katya, for joining me this week.
Thank you for listening to me sing Margaritaville and letting me do it, because
Are you going to apologise to the podcast audience for...
So
no,
but I actually asked Stuart if I could sing Margaritaville before the podcast, and he said no. So
we'll get Caroline singing next week as she's on podcast duty. Well, thank you all for tuning in. This has been a production of Boat International Media and was mixed and produced by Naomi Wilson and Adam Geest. Don't forget to like and subscribe. If you're in Cannes, come and say hi. We'll see you there. If not, speak to you in a few weeks.